And welcome back inside the Cape. Jeff Bowman, Mark Comstock. I was going to try to come back with the MSU fight song just because of our guest, but I can't find it on our board over here, so I did rag
it. Oh, yeah, that for sure. No, that's...
Oh, here, no, I just found it over here. Chris, it's right here. Here we go. I'll be nice, even though I'm, you know, amazing blue person, but here's... The MSU fight song. We'll come back just because we have Chris Isom. Chris,
I think he did that on person, on intentional. He's not. I'm a Michigan Stater too, so.
Yeah. I think he did.
Yeah,
no,
no.
I just found it.
Can't find the button. Can't find the button. He can find that big blue fight song. I know that.
Oh goodness. Anyway, we've got Miss Chris Isom with us this morning. The former athletic director at Madison, and she has been, what an honor, as she's won the Charles E. Forsyth Award from MHSAA. It's its 48th year, and it is based on individuals' outstanding contributions to the interscholastic athletics community at the local, regional, and statewide levels, and Chris is going to be honored during the boys basketball Division I final, and congratulations on that's quite an honor, Chris.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm very humbled, very honored to be receiving this award, and you know, being nominated and selected by your colleagues says a lot. But it's been a great ride, and you know, to say you enjoyed every minute, I mean, I can say that now, but you do a job because you enjoy it, and you don't make it a job. You know, you make it such your livelihood. You do it every day because you love it. And there are obviously things I miss about it. I'm loving retirement, but I'm still staying involved with the MHSA and the MIAAA, but yeah, it's been a journey, and one I'm very thankful and grateful for.
Well, you know, one of the cool things that, you know, in the article from MHSAA and also, you know, talking with you throughout the years, too, one of the neat things, you know, you're one of the few athletic directors who coached every year at some level, basketball, volleyball, sideline cheer even, you know, softball, track. But you always still kept your toe in that coaching side, too.
Yeah, and I truly do miss that part. And someone else asked me, well, would you want to get back into coaching? It maybe someday. I mean, I miss it. But, yeah, you know, I see, like, Charlie Reisner and the other people coming back and, you know, helping. And it's just kind of in your blood. As a coach, it's in your blood. And, you know, you truly do that not only for the love of the game or whatever it may be, but the interaction with the kids and just seeing their faces when they do something that successful. It isn't always about the winning, but you know, maybe it's that free throw percentage or they're able to do that left hand layup or whatever it may be. So it's fun. It's really a truly a profession that you do because you really enjoy and love it.
Well, Chris, you kind of answered the question I had. It's, you know, did you ever have a time when you wanted to just say, I'm going to get out of this administration. I'm going to get out of the AD thing. I'm just going to back off. I'm tired of the late nights. I'm tired of dealing with all the things that you have to deal with. But you already answered that. But we had Mick McCabe on Sunday, the Free Press son of Swami, mm-hmm. who you're familiar with. Mm-hmm. And I asked him, and I don't know if you're going to ball games or not now, but just from somebody that goes to a lot of ball games, do you think that the fans, and I'm going to let you answer, the fans and the coaches and the players, do you see that going in a good way, sportsmanlike, or do you think that there's lots of things that are still going on that need to get corrected and get down a better path?
Well, good question. I mean, I think there's always the good and bad, and you're always going to have those people that, you know, you see the parents or the fans that try to live through their own wannabe experiences. But for the most part, sitting back, I've been to a few games, and I think people truly enjoy it. I think the IAL, all that stuff is kind of turning it, but hopefully we can keep the true spirit of what sports are all about. I know we start earlier with the kids, and sometimes the younger ones, it's the younger kids' parents that might be the worst behaved. It's kind of funny because my future son-in-law plays professional hockey in Germany, and when we go there, we go to those events, and those fans are just crazy. But they truly love it. And maybe the difference is if they're saying inappropriate things, I can't understand what they're saying because they're speaking in German. But they are just out of their mind over sports over there. And you know, you look at events, and you know, even the Michigan State rivalry, you just see, you know, the passion from both sides, and it's good to have that. It's sometimes a fine line between,
right,
you know, keeping things in perspective, and you know, yeah, we all want to win, but you know, what's the true meaning, especially behind high school athletics.
You also worked when you were on the executive council for two different directors, Jack Roberts, who was a long time director, and of course now Mark Yule. Can you just, without being specific about the differences, but some things that have changed with the direction of two different leadership roles?
Yeah, and they're both wonderful men. And yeah. Jack and I hired in the same year, and you know, Jack was more you know, stringent, I think, by the rules, and probably, you know, from his father, that's kind of how he was molded, and that was just typical image SAA way. You know, Mark kind of followed that somewhat, but maybe a little bit more, I don't want to say lax, but more, he probably was a little bit more liberal and I think more open to change, which we have seen. And that just kind of, I think, goes with the years as things go. I mean, I was kind of always, you know, pretty stringent in things, but you can get laxed in what you do as far as, you know, change, because not only the kids' perspective, but, you know, your coaches and just life in general, things do change. And we can see that in many things. We see that, you know, with presidential candidates or any other profession. Things just happen to change, and I don't want to say go with the flow, but sometimes you do.
Well, that's, I think, with Mark Yule, I think he is a little more open-minded on some of the different things that are happening across the, you know, the landscape of sports throughout, you know, the United States and different levels of play and what different high school associations are adapting and adopting with NFHS. And I think that Yule seems a little bit more open-minded to doing some of those changes, where Jack was a little bit, nah, this is how we've done it, and we're going to keep doing it because it works.
Right. Yeah, I pretty much hit the nail on the head there.
But I think, you know, you have to grow a little bit with that too, I think.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Jack served, you know, the schools for a long time and did a phenomenal job, and you know, he was able to kind of, you know, walk away at his own terms. And again, Mark is somebody that came in with a little bit different mentality. And I think it is something that is nice and a little refreshing with what's going on throughout the MHSAA.
Oh, yeah. And Mark's wife is a women's basketball coach. So, you know, he's getting it from both sides.
Chris, as long as you served on the council, was there ever something you really wanted to see change that I know the Coaches Association bring things to you, and the different coaches associations and different people bring things that they want to approach the executive council with changes, but was there anything that you really wanted to see change that it just didn't happen under your time on the council?
That has not changed well, the darn football playoff. And I think that will be a conversation probably for a long time to come.
Can you be a little more specific?
I was always one that was in favor, not necessarily all in, but close to it, only because it's the only sport in the MHSAA where everybody doesn't get in. And I know it's its own animal, its own creature, and it does dictate a lot of what we do or what we did with, you know, other sports. And I know they wanted to keep their own identity. So, you know, you want to listen to the coaches' association and what they want. And again, with any organization, depending on that leadership, sometimes sways, you know, their opinion and what they want. And I think for the most part, you know, they liked how it was, but it's not perfect. It's better, but it's not perfect.
So you would have liked to have seen everybody get in the playoffs in high school football.
Yeah, that was kind of where I was leaning, just because that's what I was hearing from people around me, and that's who I represented. Yeah. Doesn't necessarily mean what they do now isn't right. I mean, maybe it could be tweaked a little bit. But again, it's harder when you only have the 9 games and you only have that allotment time to do it. And the Ironman says, oh, well, you'd have lopsided games. Well, we have lopsided games anyway. I mean, you can do things to, you know, detour things as far as, you know, we have the running clock and whatnot now. But there's the, you know, talk about opting out if you didn't want to, but then the number one seed would lose a game. You know, there's pluses and minuses.
Right.
But
well, I think some of the positives on that is – you know, the hard thing about football, as you said, with only the 9 games, where a basketball, you can schedule, if you can have your conference, you can schedule maybe out-of-conference games to look for, you know, better games, tougher games, or things like that, where, you know, with high school football, if you're locked into a conference that, you know, I mean, you see it now with, you know, with Madison, but you might have, you know, a team like Hudson that's smaller, you know, against some of the bigger schools. You know, at least Hudson can compete, but there's leagues where you can't, and you can't gain any points, and maybe it doesn't look very good for your record going into the playoffs, where, you know, if everybody gets in, you may look at that and go, okay, well, look at our league compared to your league. It's so much tougher, and that's why our record doesn't reflect it. But so there's a lot less chance, you know, to kind of have wiggle room with a 9-game schedule compared to a 22-game schedule.
All right, absolutely. And, again, that had a lot to do with it, too. You know, they don't want to play you because you're smaller, you don't get the points, or, you know, whatever it may be as far as the strength of schedule. So, you know, right now it's all right, but that was one thing that, yeah, I did want to see changed. But maybe somewhere down the road. I still chirp in their ear a little bit. So
the other one, and Mark, and I mean, we all talk a lot about the shot clock is another big point of contention right now.
Yeah. So, in regards to that, especially the high school level, it's another person that you have to find or hire, which those people are hard to find. And that's something that you need to keep on top of. And then, as far as high school level, I don't know. I know I don't like them just stalling, but that's kind of part of the game as well. So, again, it's that's the catch-22.
Right.
I think it's going to be coming. But I know there's resistance. And, again, it was voted down continuously because that is not what high school ADs wanted. So.
Well, I think that's a big thing right now is the coaches want it, but the ADs don't. I mean, in a lot of that aspect of it. And again, you're on the side of the AD going, okay, that's somebody else we have to hire. That's somebody else we have to train. We have to have this done, you know, because the thing about it is, and Mark will probably smirk at me when I say this, but you're talking about the coaches want it. But the first time it goes against them because they missed the shot clock or it doesn't go back right, and the coach is going to be, wait a minute, that was, you know, we need some time back on the clock or things like that. So, I mean, you know, the coaches want it now until it goes against them at some point.
Yeah.
Right. But although, you know, and that's another thing. Initially when this came about, I think the coaches were kind of uncertain. So majority of coaches did not want that. But now, you know, there's more and more coaches that are looking at that and saying, well, you know, some of these kids, we want to prepare them for college, and, you know, maybe that is a good thing to have. Or they've been beaten by teams that have run the stall, or, you know, whatever reason it is. But there are more and more coaches getting on board with it. And, like, with a lot of things that are passed by the MHAA, it's just a time thing. You know, eventually I think it will happen. It's just, it kind of has to go through its course where you get more people on board.
Well, it's very much like the seating now, which I would think you're probably delighted with, that now if you're in a five-team district, 4 and 5 play the first night. Because it used to be an alphabetical draw. The fifth place team could play the first place team the first night, just because that's the way it's set up. Now, at least if you go into your district with a team that's had a tough season, they get a chance in that first game to have a win. And if it's seniors moving one more game forward, they don't want to quit playing. And I think seeding's going to be really – I know it's really good for basketball. I think it's coming. I know it happened, I think, in volleyball this past year. The entire field is seeded. And I think it's coming for softball. I'm not sure on that, but I think softball.
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, so. Yeah, and so that's a perfect example. You know, it starts at one – you know, wrestling's had seeding for years, especially, I mean, at the state level. And then it's kind of expanded out for years. You know, let's do seeding, and it was voted down, and – just something you kind of got to chip away at. It's not going to happen overnight. It's, you know, change just is a process. And that's kind of, and that's a good thing. You have to do your due diligence. You know, as part of the council, you listen to the people around you and you vote what, you know, you got to keep your own opinion. I mean, that's a little part of it, but you have to go with what the people in my region, Region 6, you know, what do they want? And they were pretty good about letting me know and say, hey, this was my opinion. And we would meet a lot as local ADs, and that was a good thing. We had a good camaraderie with the ADs, and actually the conference is this coming weekend, so I'll be able to run into a lot of those people. And I'm still interested in opinions and what's going on, so it's good to stay involved.
Well, that keeps you young, right, Chris?
Yeah.
Well, Chris, I heard you say that you loved retirement. So, I retired a couple of years ago, and I love retirement. And I love getting up, not having to answer to anybody but myself, pretty much, and get up. You know, you can kind of manage your day and not have somebody expecting you to be at your office at a certain time. So enjoy retirement, and congratulations on your award. That's outstanding, and you put in a lot of time doing a lot of things. So take some time to enjoy it for yourself.
Well, thank you. And, you know, you're only as good as the people that surround you, and I had great people, great coaches, assistants. You know, Jimmy Hamilton was my first one, and he was with me forever, and one of my first coaches, and I owe a lot to him as well. And, you know, I can look back, and the coaches that I had under me were just pretty much phenomenal. Knock on wood, I didn't have any that I can say, oh, my gosh, that happened under me. But
well,
that I know of anyway.
and as you well know, too, and, you know, Mark can attest to this as well, and when me doing all my games and traveling around, you know, the best places we go when I'm trying to do media stuff have the best administrative assistants that handle a lot of things. And as you well know, that makes your job a lot easier too, Chris.
Yeah, absolutely. Sandy Roback was an assistant for me for years as well, and she's still there with Mindy, and she's phenomenal. But, yep, the people behind the scenes, they don't get the recognition.
They do not. Well, Chris, once again, thank you for – I was hoping I wasn't waking you up this morning because, you know, being retired, no. Sometimes you don't get up so early.
Oh yeah, that bright sun. I'm loving it.
There you go. Well, again, we appreciate your time, and hey, Chris,
all
once
right.
again, congrats. Thank you for coming in.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, thanks for having me.
Once again,
bye-bye.
That's Chris Isom, the former athletic director at Madison, who was awarded. She was named it. She's going to be awarded during the finals for Division I, March 15th, the Charles Forsyth Lifetime Achievement Award. It's a pretty high honor right there.
Yeah, that when you get on that executive council, and she was on it for years, it's a powerful group in the state of Michigan.
Yeah.
And